Most children in Matilda's place would have burst into floods of tears. She didn't do this. She sat there very still and white and thoughtful. She seemed to know that neither crying nor sulking ever got anyone anywhere. The only sensible thing to do when you're attacked is, as Napoleon once said, to counterattack. Matilda's wonderfully subtle mind was already at work, devising yet another suitable punishment for the poisonous parent. The plan that was now beginning to hatch in her mind depended, however, upon whether or not Fred's parrot was really as good a talker as Fred made out. Fred was a friend of Matilda's. He was a small boy of six who lived just around the corner from her. And for days, he had been going on about this great talking parrot his father had given him. So the following afternoon, as soon as Mrs. Wormwood had departed in her car for another session of bingo, Matilda set out for Fred's house to investigate. She knocked on his door and asked if he would be kind enough to show her the famous bird. Fred was delighted and led her up to his bedroom, where a truly magnificent blue and yellow parrot sat in a tall cage. "There it is," Fred said. "Its name is Chopper." "Make it talk," Matilda said. "You can't make it talk," Fred said. "You have to be patient. It'll talk when it feels like it." They hung around, waiting. Suddenly, the parrot said, "Hello, hello, hello." It was exactly like a human voice. Matilda said, "That's amazing. What else can it say?" "Rattle my bones," the parrot said, giving a wonderful imitation of a spooky voice. "Rattle my bones." "He's always saying that," Fred told her. "What else can he say?" Matilda asked. "That's about it," Fred said. "But it's pretty marvelous, don't you think?" "It's fabulous," Matilda said. "Would you lend him to me just for one night?" "No," Fred said. "Certainly not." "I'll give you all my next week's pocket money," Matilda said. That was different. Fred thought about it for a few seconds. "All right then," he said, "if you promise to return him tomorrow." Matilda staggered back to her own empty house, carrying the tall cage in both hands. There was a large fireplace in the dining room, and she now set about wedging the cage up the chimney and out of sight. This wasn't so easy, but she managed it in the end. "Hello, hello, hello," the bird called down to her. "Hello, hello." "Shut up, you nut," Matilda said, and she went out to wash the soot off her hands. That evening, while the mother, the father, the brother, and Matilda were having supper as usual in the living room in front of the television, a voice came loud and clear from the dining room across the hall. "Hello, hello," it said. "Harry," cried the mother, turning white. "There's someone in the house. I heard a voice." "So did I," the brother said. Matilda jumped up and switched off the telly. "Shh," she said. "Listen." They all stopped eating and sat there very tense, listening. "Hello, hello, hello," came the voice again. "There it is," cried the brother. "It's burglars," hissed the mother. "They're in the dining room." "I think they are," the father said, sitting tight. "Then go and catch them, Harry," hissed the mother. "Go out and collar them, red-handed." The father did not move. He seemed in no hurry to dash off and be a hero. His face had turned gray. "Get on with it," hissed the mother. "They're probably after the silver." The husband wiped his lips nervously with his napkin. "Why don't we all go and look together?" he said. "Come on, then," the brother said. "Come on, Mum." "They're definitely in the dining room," Matilda whispered. "I'm sure they are." The mother grabbed a poker from the fireplace. The father took a golf club that was standing in the corner. The brother seized a table lamp, ripping the plug out of its socket. Matilda took the knife she had been eating with. All four of them tripped towards the dining room door, the father keeping well behind the others. "Hello, hello, hello," came the voice again. "Come on," Matilda cried, and she burst into the room, brandishing her knife. "Stick 'em up!" she yelled. "We've caught you!" The others followed her, waving their weapons. Then they stopped. They stared around the room. There was no one there.
"There's no one here,"
the father said, greatly relieved.
"I heard him, Harry," the mother shrieked, still quaking. "I distinctly heard his voice. So did you."
"I'm certain I heard him," Matilda cried. "He's in here somewhere." She began searching behind the sofa and behind the curtains. Then came the voice once again, soft and spooky this time.
"Rattle my bones," it said. "Rattle my bones."
They all jumped, including Matilda, who was a pretty good actress. They stared around the room. There was still no one there.
"It's a ghost," Matilda said. "Heaven help us," cried the mother, clutching her husband around the neck.
"I know it's a ghost," Matilda said. "I've heard it here before. This room is haunted. I thought you knew that."
"Save us,"
the mother screamed, almost throttling her husband.
"I'm getting out of here," the father said, grayer than ever now.
They all fled, slamming the door behind them. The next afternoon, Matilda managed to get a rather sooty and grumpy parrot down from the chimney and out of the house without being seen. She carried it through the back door and ran with it all the way to Fred's house.
"Did it behave itself?" Fred asked her.
"We had a lovely time with it," Matilda said. "My parents adored it."
All right, that's way too long.